Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, I'm Africa, I'm Claire, the beautiful African. Izolete, fast la rona, landis hours, tikorahina, shangolashu. Africa, our president, the PAC president, Clarence Makwetu, has transitioned Mafrika, joined the ancestors Friday, 1st April. We thank you for the contribution, the sacrifice. And for those who may not know Mafrika, Makwetu's struggle history, born in 1928 in Confimvava in Eastern Cape, he was one of the founders, Mafrika, of the Pan-Africanist Congress in 1959, committed almost 40 years of his life in the liberation struggle against apartheid and colonial occupation. He led us, the PAC, in the first democratic elections in 1994. We thank you, Mafrika. As you say, Mafrika, Mafrika Makwetu was the first PAC secretary of Langa Flats Branch. And in 1960, Mafrika, 1960, he led the anti-pass campaign in terms of the, and then in terms of the state emergency of, resulting in the state emergency, because as you know, Mafrika, 21st, 1960 in Sharpeville, 69 of Mafrika, PACs were massacred of Mafrika. And PAC launched another march, anti-pass campaign march on the 29th March, 1960. And Mafrika Makwetu then was the secretary of the branch. He was one of the leadership of the branch of the march, including Mafrika, including Mafrika Philip Khosana. So he was arrested, Mafrika, after the regime declared a state of emergency and was released in September 1960. After his release, Mafrika Makwetu intensified the PAC activities until 1961, where he was banished to Confimvava, Mafrika. In August 1962, he was arrested in the Transkei again, Mafrika, brought back to the Cape to stand trial in a charge of conducting an illegal gathering. He was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment on Robben Island, joined other political prisoners, Mafrika. And also on his release on Robben Island, he was escorted, bent to the Transkei again. In 1976, after the upset, the revolt of the students, he was once again, Mafrika Makwetu was once again detained for political activism, only released in May 1977. And December 1979, he was banished by his cousin, the then Transkei ruler, Chief Matanzima, to the Libodi district. In December 1989, he became the first president of the Pan-Africanist Congress movement, which was the internal PNC. And when the PAC was unbanned in 1990, PAM was dissolved and Mafrika Makwetu became the deputy president of the PAC. On the death of the Lion of Azania, Zef Mutupeng, in 1990, Makwetu was elected president of the PAC. He served his position until 1996. Mafrika, siyabonga, we thank you for the contributions. And Mafrika, a very somber, very grave, of course, it's commemoration, but it's celebratory of the service, suffering, the sacrifice of Mafrika, Wepoto. The government, beginning on Monday, will be exhuming 83 PAC martyrs amongst those who were executed in 1960. And these were Poto members, Poto forces from Africa, the forefather, the predecessor to the Azanian Liberation Army. Mafrika, we share our prayers to the martyrs. And we say, as of tomorrow, Mafrika, Mafrika should share collectively our prayers to martyred ancestors, Mafrika, and call upon Mafrika across the country, across the party lines, recognize the supreme sacrifice of these warriors, among others, Mafrika, who shed their blood to germinate this our liberation and freedom. And to those, my Africa, we said that 61% of amongst us did not vote in the 2014 elections. We appeal to you, my Africa. We say that, behold, hold up to those who have departed, who have sacrificed, those amongst us, and those who are not heralded. They are unspoken of. And it's the same in Africa. 83 will be exhumed, and some were put in graves, 3-4 of them. So the identification in terms of the DNA, and it has to proceed. But my Africa, our prayer, my Africa, tomorrow, stand up and pray, even solitary, alone, together, or collectively. Let's pray, my Africa, so that my Inkulunkulu, Agasnige, the ancestors, Basnig, they should give us, bestow upon the PAC the resurrection that we need and the energy to move this process forward. My Africa, in these times of constitutional crises, as we say, my Africa, we are for a democratic state, a socialist democratic Azania. And as you know, my Africa, South Africa is a foreign name. Its namesake, my Africa, was a boy who landed in Durban, my Africa, docked in Durban, I believe in 1807. His name, 1870, my Africa, he landed with £3,000 in his pocket, loaned by his aunt. And his political goal, my Africa, was the creation of South African Federation under the British flag. 1890, he became the Prime Minister in the Cape Colony, and he achieved his goal, my Africa, by 1909, when the Union of South Africa was promulgated by the British Parliament. 31st May 1910, established the Union of South Africa, that parliament. Now, my Africa, South Africa still has a foreign name. And if you remember, my Africa, we've had Hendrik Verwoerd, a Dutch, born in Dutch. He was not born on the soil, my Africa. Prime Minister of the Republic of South Africa, the apartheid regime, 1958. He broke away from the British, the Union of South Africa, and formed the Republic. And my Africa, he presided, this is a man who presided over the Sharpeville massacre of 21 March 1960, when 69 of our people were massacred. So my Africa, the regime broke away from the Union of South Africa. And we've kept this name. That's why the ancestors, you try and bury the ancestors, make them incognito, unrecognized, unheralded in your media. You try to bury it. Even Sharpeville, you try to bury the name. But you're saying, Africa, South Africa is the demon's name. It's a foreign name. It's a bastardized name. That's why the country is going through turmoil, because it was built on sand. You deviated from your fundamental principles in terms of as a liberation movement. So, my Africa, the constitutional crisis. As you say, my Africa, the ruling, the constitutional court, just gave a ruling last week Thursday. And among others, my Africa, as you pointed out, that my Africa, you are the sovereign voter. You own the vote. You own the country. But the parliament belongs to you. That party parliament is moribund. It's unconstitutional. It's a contradiction, and it exposes us as people who were, they used to call us kafirs. Now they used to call us niggers. How do we behave now? Permanent state of deception, where we clearly behave like the oppressed. The oppressed, my Africa. Talk about liberation. Talk about the consciousness of the mind. That's why the consciousness is devastated. Identity is split. You are just flying like something is wrong, Africa. Let's go back to my Africa principles as Africanist. So, Africa, the constitutional crisis. The court has ruled, Africa, the National Assembly in particular, as you say, that's the people's ownership, not the party ownership. That's where the confusion is. And the Constitutional Court of Africa said it. National Assembly, and by extension Parliament, is the embodiment of the legitimate aspirations of all our people. It is the voice of all the people, especially the poor, the voiceless, and the least remembered. It is the watchdog of the state resources, the enforcer of fiscal discipline and cost effectiveness for the common good of all our people. It also bears the responsibility to play an oversight role over the executive and state organs and ensure that constitutional and statutory obligations are properly executed. It fulfills preeminently the unique role of holding the executive accountable. Africa, the voiceless and the less remembers. This is a grave national disgrace and indictment that our people are voiceless and less remembered as we speak, Africa, under a constitutional facade and unconstitutionality and misgovernance of the most monstrous proportion. Hypocrisy, Africa, the highest, and then you have vagabonds and upstarts running around and seeking power, manipulating it for their own sake. And what do? Buy the biggest car, buy the most expensive suits, buy triple houses. Another one has 30 flats. 30 flats! So, Africa, we say that for the voiceless and less remembered, if the Constitutional Court has to reiterate that, in the situation as it is, a grave national disgrace and indictment. How do sons and daughters of the majority who fought to liberate the vote, to liberate themselves and own the vote, own the sovereign vote, become voiceless and less remembered by the black majority government? How could the majority become voiceless and less remembered by the black majority government? They go about banning. They're running crazy. They are so angry. Ban. You don't do that. That's your country. You own the vote. You own the country. Take over the parliament. To you, Mo Africa, as you say that you own the vote, it is you, Mo Africa, who voted again and again to remain. You voted, Mo Africa, again and again, and you are remaining voiceless and less remembered by your government. Vote as Mo Africa, we are saying, Mo Africa. We are calling upon you. Go vote, Mo Africa. Elect your own parliament representative that allow the political party, then allow the political party to appoint parliament representatives. Go elect all the office holders, mayors, premiers, at least, Mafrika. You have the power to insist. That is your right, Mafrika. That is your right. That the party parliament represent the party first. Party parliament is unconstitutional as constructed. It has failed to hold the executive accountable. As we know, I'll see with this mess, the ruling of the Constitutional Court on Thursday, last week, Africa. We say amend the constitution, have communities elect the party representatives of their choice to parliament, establish the people's parliament, hold parliament accountable and autonomous to the people. Now, the court, Africa, Chief Justice pointed out the separation of the branches of government. According to the dictates of the Constitutional Principle 6, I think, there shall be a separation of powers between the legislature, the executive, and judiciary with appropriate checks and balances to ensure accountability, responsiveness, and openness. The principle of separation of powers, on the one hand, recognizes the functional independence of branches of government. On the other hand, the principle of checks and balances focuses on the desirability of ensuring that the constitutional order as a totality prevents the branches of government from usurping power from one another. What do we have today? What do we have? What moribund situation do we have? We have frontiers, gatekeepers, induna, appointed by the party to sit there, that's occupying the people's parliament space. You're occupying it. Talk about one government branch to usurp another. Why do we have the executive, the president of the country, who is also the leader of the governing party, input and decide on appointing party member list to parliament? And once after getting them to parliament, from the group, again appoints members of parliament into cabinet ministers and deputy ministers. It's conflation. They have usurped. The executive has usurped. That's why we are in this mess. totally usurping the parliament independent oversight role over the executive. The party parliament structure and composition, as it is in Africa, is designed and constituted not to hold the executive accountable, which is contrary to the constitution. In effect, in Africa, defeats the letter and spirit of the constitution on the separation of powers. We continue. Continue, Africa. The party parliament is the direct cause and effect of the capture and theft of the people's government and fiscus. Our money in Africa being stolen by foreign capital, much worse, the Gupta family hegemony and subjugation of cabinet parastatals, and the miscarriage, that is the recent abortion. Aborted Gupta family capture of the treasury. They tried to capture the treasury. Cause and effect of the capture and theft of the people's government and our fiscus. That's where the rot is. With this moribund, subjugated parliament, usurped by the executive and the party. Of course, according to the ruling or the constitution, you may not have complete separation of the branches, but it is downright unconstitutional and a grave threat to state security to permit such corruptible executive usurp parliament independence and appointing party MPs, appointing parliamentarians, and then the next thing is go choose cabinet from within the parliament. And they are sitting there. What business do these cabinet members sit there? Corrupt. So the question is, why do we, the majority government, carbon copy foreign government systems? Of course, this also nonsensical proportional system, written by foreign consultants, Mafrika, and then on top of that, you concoct it to undermine majority sovereign vote, the majority sovereign vote. Why do you do this to us? How do you continue this monstrous unconstitutional monstrosity? This is horror. This is horror. It's a bad dream. According to the court, Mafrika, the National Assembly failed in the Inkandla issue to hold the parliament, the president, executive, to hold the president accountable or the executive accountable. The failure is inconsistent with its obligation to scrutinize and oversee for parliament. Obligation to scrutinize and oversee executive action and to maintain oversight of the exercise of the executive powers by the president. It's a mess, Mafrika. It's a mess. But you're saying, Mafrika, wake up. Let's take the People's Parliament. Now, if you remember, Mafrika, during the court debate, it was raised in Africa by the opposition lawyers that the president has a singular heightened duty to uphold, defend, and respect the constitution. And he had flagrantly violated this duty by defying the public protector. For those who do not know Africa, the public protector in South Africa had came up with a report on the Inkandla constructions and features, and said that part of the money, 240 million that was spent, not for security constructions, must be paid back, like the swimming pool, the cattle crawl, the amphitheater, and some other. And the president resisted, but ultimately, 8 days before the Constitutional Court was about to debate this matter, he rendered Mafrika, made a proposition, said, now I will pay. After resisting, I will pay. So his lawyer, Mafrika, appeared before the court, Mafrika, and said that it would be wrong if this court makes a ruling which may result in a call for impeachment. Now, the lawyer stood there, all right, made a pleading. Okay, and if you plead guilty, you must get something. All right, we say in the language, Fonokototole Squabo, man, get probation or something, community service, you can just go free. We can just go free. And the lawyer was saying that it would be wrong for this court to make a ruling which will result in a call for impeachment. Some have argued that the president was defiant, but it was an error in law. Okay? He insists that the president did not defy it. He made an error in law, telling the Constitutional Court, after he delayed, gerrymandered for almost 2 years, spending that much money. And he goes on to say, the court then returns, Mafriki said, that the president might have been following the wrong legal advice and therefore acting in good faith, but that does not detract from the illegality of his conduct. That's it. It does not detract under the Constitution, before the law, before the court, for the illegality of his conduct. And Mafriki, the saying that you got the wrong legal advice, that does not remove or erase the illegal conduct. And Mafriki, as you say, repeat, saying that you followed wrong legal advice does not remove or erase the illegal conduct. Much worse, Mafriki, your own party, as president, advised you very early to seek judicial review on your responses to the public protector's report. They told him, Mafriki. And you chose to follow your own legal advice. You now say was bad legal advice. Who was to blame? And your senior veterans publicly, we saw their statements, Mafriki, advising you, please pay back some of the money. Pay back. You ignored that, Mafriki. And now it tells that your own secretary general, okay, fine, comes and says that according to him, the court did not make a declaratory order to impeach the president. Of course, that is true. The court didn't do that because the Constitutional Court has no jurisdiction by separation of powers to order parliament to impeach the president. They can't do that. The court can't do that. In effect, the court insists that the executive and the legislature deserve the space to discharge their constitutional obligations unimpeded by the judiciary, save where the Constitution otherwise permits. Boom. Two. So, the court is clear, Mafriki. It's clear, it is not ambiguous. And for you to say whether or not the court granted the declaratory order to the effect that the president failed to fulfill his constitutional duties, yes, the court did do that. And in fact, the court asked specifically whether a declaratory order should be granted to the effect that the president failed to fulfill his constitutional obligations in terms of the Constitution. It raised that question. It further raised another question, Mafriki, also that the National Assembly breached its constitutional obligations in terms of the Constitution. We will quote that. That's those, you know. And the answer was, Mafriki, according to the Constitutional Court, when deciding a constitutional matter within its power, a court must declare that any law or conduct that is inconsistent with the Constitution is invalid to the extent of its inconsistency. The court has no choice, Mafriki, but to make a declaratory order according to the Constitution pronounce on the inconsistency and invalidity of, in case, the president's conduct and that of the National Assembly. Mafriki, please do not parade us as ignoramus in the world, because the world is watching. And it did not transform. You just joined the apartheid regime's constitution as it is, only remove the most obnoxious, objectionable laws. And we are saying that Mafriki, that is the country of the African majority. Those who came in are our guests, and our principle is that we take care of the rights of the individuals. We do not segment according to groups. We do not protect groups. We protect the individuals. So the issue of non-racialism, we regard ourselves as humans, of human race, Mafriki. And you happen to be there and declare your allegiance to Azania, you are protected. But you guys, what you did was, you are happy to be put in silken sheets. You are given houses, given all the trappings and whatnot. Now you are billionaires, you are fed, and the whole thing is gone. Mafriki, let's go back to Azania. Let's claim our Azania. And the Speaker of Mafika goes on to say that, in her opinion, the court had not found that the National Assembly had violated the Constitution, but rather had been critical of certain actions of the House. You, Mrs. Speaker, you are one of the gatekeepers. You behave like an induna, sort of, and you are an obedient servant of the executive. Your thing is like a whip, you know, this whip that used to, you know, your duty is to keep your MPs in line, those who are appointed. And it's defeating all of us. We are looking moribund, stupid, headless, mindless, brainless. That's how we look. Because you've deviated from the indigenous African principles of liberation. You used to call us reactionaries. And you're saying, Africa, as Africanists, we borrow the best from the East and the best from the West, according to Sobukwe. We nonetheless retain and maintain our distinctive personality and refuse to be set traps or stooges of either power blocks. Much worse, Mafika, you are a set trap of the Guptas, a family that just came into the country. Family from India. Is running, appointing, influencing the appointment of cabinet ministers, deputy cabinet ministers. How low can we get? But Mafika, it's up to us, the majority. It's up to us, majority. Like we are saying that according to quote Azikwe Mafika, under the Africanist document, we remain independent in all things but neutral in none that affect the destiny of Africa. Tomboy of Africa, saying that it's not the intention of African states or African people to change one master for another. Now, you got the Gupta master there, the Gupta family master. What a mess. To my Africa, we are saying that, my Africa, you do not obey, you resist and overthrow immoral and illegal and illegitimate laws, just as my Africa overthrew the apartheid regime and colonial occupation. And as you said, my Africa, South Africa is the namesake of a 17-year-old boy who docked in Durban in 1870 with £3,000 in his pocket. His goal was to create a South African Federation under the British flag, and he did it by 1909. And we have the Dutch-born apartheid leader who was the architect of apartheid, Hendrik Verwoerd. My Africa, these are foreigners, okay? And we've got to have the indigenous name Azania. And as you say, my Africa, we've had Konimu Tsamai, liberation soldier, jailed for 27 years, now refused the parole on unjust grounds. My Africa, that has to be challenged. But I appeal to you, my Africa, we say that my Africa should observe and uphold and protect your own organization and movement constitution. Protect the internal regulations and processes laid down by the Liberation Founding Fathers to continue and consolidate the liberation struggle. In case of an internal dispute and seeking arbitration before the courts, you as my Africa, you retain the right to appeal the court ruling, if it is in your disfavor. If not, if you do not appeal, my Africa, accept it and live by the decision. Unless, my Africa, you are like Kenimo Tsama, where you are being unjustly kept in jail. You can never have 100% working relationship, especially among and within the liberation movement. But put the people first, my Africa. Put the movement first before your narrow, selfish interest for power and leadership. Let's not do this the unconstitutional monstrosity that we see among our brethren. It does not work, my Africa. No sane people will follow a rogue leadership that fails to uphold its organization constitution, is seen to defy the court arbitration and ruling after failure to peacefully resolve internal leadership disputes and contestations, my Africa. Have peace, my Africa. Devote yourself to the people first and the movement. Izwi lethu, fatsa la rona, shango lasho, Tiko Rahina. Thank you, my Africa, for the privilege of speaking to you and the privilege of listening.